I've been stuffed in your pocket for the last 100 days. When I don't get my bath, I take it out on the slaves. So grease up your baby for the ball on the hill. I'll polish them rockets now and swallow those pills and say, oh. Space Lord Mother Mother.
Welcome to that 590 show. Right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. I am your humble, handsome but humble host. I'm stealing that line from Ray I. I on the outdoors here every Saturday morning, right here on 590 The Fan. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials, answering your phone calls and pushing all the buttons, make sure that we are on the air. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter, at 590show, at Matt underscore Berger, at Rock590, and at John Rudolph 22. Reminder, we will be at Rosalita's Cantina tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow evening, I guess I should say, 6 to 8, 1235 Washington Avenue, downtown St. Louis. In fact, the entire station is going to be broadcasting tomorrow from Rosalita's. So if you are going to be in the downtown area at all for Terra Cinco de Mayo, make sure you come on by and say hi, grab a margarita, a shot of tequila, maybe a burrito before you head to Scott Trade to watch the Blues and the Predators in Game 5. Joining us at 6:20 will be Ryan Kemner, the sales manager at Bellman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, about a community event they are having on May 13th. At 6:40, Hannah Yates from The Hardline to talk about tomorrow's Game 5. And then at 7 o'clock, movie critic Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. And then at 7:20, former NFL player, scout, and agent Mark Lillibridge. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. Not much to talk about locally because the Blues didn't play last night. That's tomorrow night. And the Cardinals got washed out yesterday. They're going to have their game tonight. But I'm not sure how many people are going to be there considering how many highways that are closed all around St. Louis. The weather out there is not exactly great. It's cold and it's rainy. It feels like football weather more than it does baseball weather. So the Blues, or the Cardinals and the Brewers, rather, will pick up where their series has been interrupted tonight, and then they will head to Atlanta tomorrow to take on the Braves. On Saturday, I bought a new cell phone. I bought the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus. A free plug there, I guess you could say. But now I'm kind of wishing I didn't buy that phone, and not because I don't like the phone. I love the phone. The reason why I'm wishing I never would have bought it is because the most annoying commercial on TV right now is the guy with the long hair and the scraggly beard who dresses his dog in the same clothes that he does, and he calls the dog his son, and he carries the dog everywhere he goes. Like, you see him carrying he's dressed to play tennis because he looks like Bjorn Borg with the hair and the beard. So he's got on the headband and the tennis shirt and the tennis shorts. And guess what? So does the dog. And it's a commercial for Sprint. And they're talking about the S8, about what a great camera it is. And it does. The camera's amazing. But they're talking about what a great camera the phone has. And then he's got an Instagram account where he takes all these selfies with him and the dog dressed alike. What is going on, John Giamatti Rudolph? I understand people love their dogs. I'm not coming down on people who love their dogs, but there's one such thing as loving your dog and one such thing as being a pathetic human being, and I think he's pathetic.
Is this a real Instagram account, or is this just
I'm assuming it's a real Instagram account. I mean, it looks like it would be a joke. Like it's going to be some kind of parody account, but I don't think it is. I think it's a real thing. And I haven't really paid attention to the commercial close enough to look him up on Instagram. But anybody who poses for pictures with his dog dressed like the dog, I'm sorry, you're a loser.
Yeah. So why exactly do you hate dogs?
I don't hate dogs. I love dogs. The dog like a dog.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's still a dog. And you don't need to dress it up and take pictures. I mean, I love my dog too, and I am a big dog lover, but I'm not going to dress my dog up.
I mean, he calls the dog his son.
No,
and then the voiceover guy is talking about like what a great data plan. Sprint has for the new S8. And then you see him whisper into the dog's ear, and he goes, he thinks this is a great plan, too. I'm like, dude.
There's people out there that are like that, too.
And yeah, and it says that he lives in Brooklyn, New York. And if he lives in Brooklyn, New York, you got to make a lot of money to live in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
What on earth does this guy do for a living where he can afford to live in Brooklyn?
He invented an app.
It's got to be something along those lines. Either that or somehow he's... Watch me. I'll find this guy on Instagram, and he'll have like 2 million Instagram followers, and that's probably how he's getting paid. That's because crazy. too many people want to see him and his dog dressed alike.
How do they go about that? They just plug stuff on Instagram to get paid, or...
Yeah, a lot of celebrities will. Like, if you have so many million followers, you're going to be like, hey, you'll hold up a picture of
a bottle of water
or think of toothpaste and be like, yeah, if you want your teeth to look as white as mine, use blah, blah, blah toothpaste. And then, yeah, Crest or whoever will pay you.
Ladies and gentlemen of St. Louis, suffice to say, it's been an entire 24 hours since either the Blues or the Cardinals played.
That's the reason why we're talking about this right now. Yeah, it's a slow day.
It is. I guess we could talk about it here before the game starts. The fact that Aledmys Diaz and the Stephen Piscotty switching the lineup.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm not opposed to it. It's like the lineup is pretty much the same, just the order is different.
I just wonder how much, if this is going to be a long-term thing. Everyone talks about Diaz has struggled, Piscotty needs a jump, switch him around. At the same time, Diaz is 1-for-6 in his career against Chase Anderson. So... optimize the bat of a guy who has a better career average against the starting pitcher by putting him at the two spot instead of a guy who's had trouble against him and moving him down a little bit. But I want to see it at least a little bit long term. By long term, I mean a whole series.
When I saw the lineup, I'm like, I didn't object to it. I didn't look at it and go like, oh my god, this is awful. I'm like, you know what? It's the lineup is worth tinkering around a little bit. So I didn't.
Don't give him that kind of leeway. If you say it's worthy to tinker around a little bit, it's going to get tinkered with.
Well, okay. Like Mike Matheny really needs my permission on whether or not he's going to tinker with the lineup.
He listens to the station.
I hope he listens
to the show. If he listens, there's no doubt in my mind.
If he listens to the show, then I'm undoubtedly on his hit list.
Tell you what, though, he knows about the NBA now.
You're right about that. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line. And Mr. 99.9%, Mark is joining us. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, man. I just want to discuss with you, why do the most these like major bands they skip St. Louis? Now, I know you know the recent death of Prince, and you know his old band, The Revolution, is doing a tour, man. And they just practically skipped St. Louis, man. They was in Chicago about 2 weeks ago. And I had a buddy of mine who went up there. He said that show was spectacular, man.
There's a lot of bands that skip St. Louis, and the reason why I've always heard is that the city of St. Louis, their ticket tax is so high, and that's the reason why a lot of places skip St. Louis.
Well, I was wondering. I said I would love to see that show, man.
I would have too. And Morris Day is going to be playing at Ballpark Village, I think, at the end of the month.
Right.
So
yeah.
So I mean, yeah. St. Louis. Do we always get every big concert that comes through town? No, we don't. But I mean, we St. Louis does get its fair share. I mean, Metallica's playing at Busch Stadium. Guns N' Roses is playing at the Jones Dome or the Edward Jones Dome or the Dome at America Center, whatever they're calling it nowadays. I remember it was a few years ago where the band Radiohead was only making basically one stop in the Midwest, and it was St. Louis, and people were coming from as far as, you know, Chicago and Minneapolis, Cincinnati and Cleveland to see Radiohead in St. Louis. So, I mean, it would have been – I'm with you, Mark. It would have been awesome to see the Revolution here, but sometimes it happens.
Right. I was totally disappointed that they weren't going to stop her, but maybe I can catch them somewhere else.
Sometimes some of these bands, they do like two legs of a tour. So like maybe, right, like, you know, maybe they're going to tour like North America now, and then they'll go to Europe and then come back and do another North American tour. And then maybe hopefully St. Louis will get a second stop then. Where did they play in Chicago? Was it United Center? Where did they play?
I forget where it was at, but he said the show was great, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fantastic. Sometimes it could be like, look, the way they have their dates set up and the venues that they want to play in St. Louis, sometimes they don't always coincide too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then on the game tomorrow night, I think That'll be the final nail in the coffin tomorrow night.
Well, I am stunned that you're calling in to say that, Mark. You're always so optimistic about everything tied to St. Louis, whether it's sports-wise.
I just want to ask you guys, are you guys satisfied with the Blues just making the playoffs and just going out there and making the playoffs every year?
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Am I satisfied with this Blues team making the playoffs and making as far as they have? Yeah, I am, because I'll be honest with you, I did not have exactly lofty expectations for this team going into the season, and they kind of went down after they traded Kevin Shattenkirk and got Zach Sanford, who's been better than I thought he was going to be. I'm like, okay, it looked like they were even going to be lucky to get into the playoffs, and here they became the third seed. So I think maybe they overachieved a little bit. Now, like, as an organization, is it frustrating that they haven't won the Stanley Cup yet? Yeah, absolutely, especially when you see the Carolina Hurricanes, they've won one. There's a good chance that the Nashville Predators, they could win one before the Blues do too. So, yeah, that's frustrating.
But it's constantly, the previous years has nothing to do with the recent year. I'm saying, yes, it does, man, because it's an organizational thing, because people don't learn from their mistakes. They keep doing the same things over and over, expecting a different result, man.
Okay, well, I think they did learn from their mistake, and that's the reason why they traded Kevin Shattenkirk, instead of just letting him walk away like they did with David Backes and with Troy Brouwer. So you could say they did learn from their mistake, and they traded for Zach Sanford, and they got something, or they traded Kevin Shattenkirk. They got Zach Sanford, and they got some draft picks as well. So you could say maybe they did learn from their mistake.
Well, I just, like I say, it's the same stuff happens year in and year out. And it just seems like the Blues fans, they just happy to go down there. And,
well, at least they made it past the first round. That's what everybody always says, the Blues losing the first round, but at least they made it past that.
It also doesn't happen year in and year out. Yeah, they didn't make it last year, but that was the swing. I mean, that's the swing they took, and they got to the Western Conference Finals. That's the swing they took. That's what you have to do as a team, is when you realize that you have a core and you have to make a jump. They took a swing. Did it hold back their team a little bit this year because they knew going into it they weren't going to be able to keep David Backes and Troy Brouwer, and they made moves to get those guys that they knew might hurt them for a couple years? Yes, but that's what you have to do sometimes, because they were the organization was tired of just doing round one, round two for 10 straight years. They took a shot. It didn't make it, but you have to respect the fact that the organization took the shot.
And Mark, what would your reaction be if you were in D.C. and you were a Capitals fan?
No, that's why I was just ready to bring up. I said, they just like the Washington Capitals, man.
Well, no, they're not just like the Washington Capitals, because the Washington Capitals make big, huge moves and add big pieces, and they cannot get past the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's completely different. Oh, so you want them to make big moves and fail?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Big moves, man. You got to make big
moves.
They did.
I would not look at the Washington Capitals as an example of what to do and how to succeed. If anything, that team has been a colossal failure with one of the greatest players in the NHL, and Alexander Ovechkin, who was a big no-show last night.
Well, what I'm saying is you got to constantly make moves until you get it right, man. You just can't stand pat and say, well, let's keep these core group
of
players.
They didn't stand pat. They traded Kevin Shattenkirk.
And before that, they traded T.J. Oshie. They traded T.J. Oshie to facilitate. Here's
okay,
the thing,
okay.
Another thing. T.J. Oshie.
Apparently, Mark has all the answers. So,
no.
Mark, I'm making you the GM. What do they do?
They should have got rid of the coach. They didn't need to trade Oshie. They needed to get rid of Hitchcock. Everybody knew that guy was a dinosaur, man.
Okay, Oshie hasn't exactly set the world on fire with the Washington Capitals, but other than that, what's your other move? Let's hear it.
I would get rid of Tarasenko and try to get some good players, man, for him.
Okay.
I'd get rid of Tarasenko.
So you would get rid of Tarasenko, and you're going to get back in return for Tarasenko is probably going to be draft picks. And then you're going to be bitching and moaning about how they traded their only big superstar and their only real scorer for a bunch of no-names.
Man, when the Chicago Blackhawks lost, what did they do? They made moves, man. They didn't stay pat and say, "Yeah, we're gonna come with these."
Are you talking about the same Chicago Blackhawks team that didn't make it out of the first round? Is that the same one team?
Right,
the same team you're talking about? Okay,
team,
that team. So that's
team.
Mark, you picked the worst examples of anybody I've ever seen in my entire life. You think examples that they should follow are the Chicago Blackhawks, who lost in the first round, and the Washington Capitals, who are on the verge of getting swept by the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round? Those are the two examples that the Blues need to follow. That's what you're telling me.
They made moves. moves. That's what I'm saying.
Mark, you have a great night. Go back to the Hennessy or whatever it was you had before you called us, brother. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Have a great night.
Easy, man.
Have a good night, Mark.
And more than that, what big moves did the Blackhawks make? They fired an assistant coach. But their roster's going to...
It's exactly the same.
Their roster... I mean, obviously, we haven't had the draft of free agency because they can't make giant moves on their roster. But no one's going anywhere. Panarin's... They're not going to trade Panarin. They're not going to trade Panic. They're not going to trade Taves or Kane. They're going to make moves probably on defense. Maybe.
They're not going to trade Duncan Keith. They're not going to trade any of those guys.
And they, I mean, Keith and Seabrook, maybe, because their defense is so bad now. But they're not going to make a big change to their offensive core. And more than that... They traded away Oshie, who had more control, more years of his contract, for a guy like Troy Brouwer, who they knew was going to hit free agency that year, simply because they thought he would be a better player for the playoffs. They made a move to try to make it in the playoffs. It simply didn't work. You got to respect the fact that they tried.
And they did learn their lesson from last year. They traded Kevin Shattenkirk instead of just losing him for nothing. Let's head back to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and we are on with the sales manager for Bellman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Ryan Kimnert. He's here to tell us about a great community event that they're having May 13th. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And tell us about what you have going on May 13th at the Chrysler dealership in Troy, Missouri, 175 Turnbell Trail.
Awesome, man. I appreciate having me on, first of all. Second, May 13th, 8:30 in the morning until 10:30 in the morning, we're going to have an event that we're calling Coffee with a Cop. We really support the Troy Police Department and their canine unit. We're good friends with them. We're going to have their police department out with some of their canine units. Their dog Lobo is going to be there doing some demonstrations. You know, the citizens are going to be able to come in, sit down, have a nice conversation with the police officers. There's no speeches, there's no agendas. It's just one-on-one conversations to make, you know, those barriers that you've got with cops and the citizens they serve, just to break those barriers down and have nice open communication with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Is this something that an idea that you've had for a long time? Because I know you had success with the gift cards on Facebook. I remember seeing the videos. Is this an idea that you've had for a long time, or how did you come across this idea?
You know, I tell you what, my ownership of the Bellman Group, they've supported the police for a long time. And I know that the Troy Police Department has done a few other Coffee with Cop events around the Troy area. And Tyler Holton is one of the police officers that I'm, you know, friends with. He's one of the canine units, and he came in and brought the idea to me and asked us if we could support them and have them into the dealership to do it. So I can't necessarily take full credit for the idea, but I'm really happy that we're going to be able to be a part of it, because I think it's a really big thing. It's a good thing for us to get out there. So we're hoping for a large turnout.
That is going to be May 13th, and it's at the Chrysler dealership in Troy, 175 Turnbell Trail, from 8:30 to 10:30, and no need to bring anything. You just show up and have a cup of coffee, yeah, grab a donut, and get to know your local law enforcement. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'd like to see more businesses do this.
Yeah, exactly. We're excited, man. The police officers in this country don't get enough support, in our opinion, and this is something that we can do to support them, and the citizens can come in, have nice conversations with them, and get to see who they really are, because they're just good people all around, and we're really happy to do it. Hopefully we do it more than once.
Yeah, I got a feeling you're going to, Ryan. I got a feeling this is going to be a huge success, and you're going to be telling me about it, and then you're going to be telling me when the next one is, and when the next one happens, right. I'll be more than happy to have you on the phone to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ryan. That is Ryan Kimner, the sales manager at Bellman Automotive, Bellman Chrysler, Dodge Jeep and Ram. Make sure that you can give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Ryan. We need to get to that 590 Show Sports Update and our very own Matt Rocchio.
The Blues will be in action tomorrow night against the Predators. Game 5 of the Western Conference second round series. It'll be in the Scott Trade. Puck drop 7 p.m. The Blues looking to stave off elimination there. Let's check out some baseball scores from the day. Earlier on, ended about 30 minutes ago, in the 13th, the Cubs downing the Phillies 5-4. In other NL Central news, the Reds took down the Pirates 4-2. Diamondbacks and Nationals also wrapped one up earlier today, and the Nationals took that one 4-2 as well. And in action right now, they're in the bottom of the 10th, and in San Diego, the Rockies and the Padres all knotted up at 2 apiece. Later on tonight, we'll see the NBA matchup. Game 3 in the Eastern Conference between the Celtics and the Wizards. Celtics leading that series 2-0, and Game 2 of the Western Conference series between the Jazz and the Warriors gets underway. The Jazz trying to bounce back from an absolute destruction of a loss in Game 1 to the Warriors. And on the NHL slate tonight, it's the Senators and the Rangers. Senators leading that series 2-1 going into Game 4 tonight. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Rocky. I have a couple of texts coming in. One from the 314, Tarasenko was the Matt Holiday of hockey. Hits a home run when the game is over. And also from the 314, Mark, you have a job every sports show in town. I hear Mark calling in and complaining about something. Rocchio, please feed me a bottle and burp me. Baby O, I know that you're on hold. Please stay on hold. We got to take a commercial break, and then we're going to get to your call immediately on the other side. You're listening to That 590 Show. We are live right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.